Today's daf is daf Yud Zayin, but we have to start the mission from the previous daf mode, because that's where we left off. Yesh Chayiv al Maaseh Shoro Patur al Maaseh Atzmo. Sometimes you can have a situation where an ox and a human being will do exactly the same action, but one would be Chayiv on Repatur and vice versa. So, for example, we say Chayiv al Maaseh Shoro or Patur al Maaseh Atzmo. So, if his ox did it, he'd be Chayiv, but if he did himself, he'd be exempt. And we have the same thing the other way around, meaning Chayiv al Maaseh Atzmo, but if his ox did it, it would be Patur al Maaseh Shoro. So let's have the example. Shor Shabiyesh. If you remember, one of the five elements of compensation of a human being does damage is his chayvin boshet, the shame that is caused. But that's not the tr same. That's not true. That's not an element of compensation if an ox does it. The compensation is simply monetary. So Shor Shabiyesh patur v'hu Shabiyesh is chayv. Next, Shor Shesimat ein avdo v'pilet sheino. One of the things, if someone has one of the laws we have is if a person has a servant. And he either blinds him or knocks his tooth out, he has to be set free. But that's if the master does it. If there was an accident with respect to the person's ox and the Eved got such an injury, that wouldn't be the case. He doesn't get set free. That's why Shoroshitzimaitainabdovpilishinopatovushismaitainovdovipeshoidbichayiv means to let him free. Next, Shoshachaval avivimoif, then it'd be chayiv. If an ox cause damage to the owner's father or mother, he'd be chayiv much compensation like injuring any person. However, if he strikes his parents, he'd be patur from a monetary compensation in the patur. Why? Because by causing an injury to one's parents, it's a capital offense. So therefore, we have the concept of kimle b'derabbanan. If there's a capital punishment involved, then you're not obligated to the monetary consequences of the action as well. Now, shorshed likita dish b'shabbes. If an ox lit up a fire, we saw examples of this in the past. Not just lit a match, but picked up a coal. Things like we talked about this before with a dog. Then he'd be chayev. But if he lights a stack of wheat on Shabbos, he'll be patur. Why? Same reason as before, because when you're lighting a fire on Shabbos is a malacha, it's a punishable, it's a capital offense. And once again, it's kimele merabah. Now you can't have a capital offense and a monetary offense in the same action. You only get the capital one, and therefore, if he'd lit that on Shabbos, he'd be exempt. Okay, that's a Mishnah. Let's now learn the Gemara. Bar Padaya Amar, kol mekalkulin p'turim chutz min ha-mavir v'asochei bura. According to Bar Padaya, he says any type, and generally, if you're mekalkel, if you're something destructive, you'd be patur on Shabbos, except for lighting a fire, which is inherently destructive, it burns things, and causing a chaburat, some type of a wound, which is also destructive. So where does he learn this from? The Mara Fulda says, "B'shabbat torim chutz michovel umavir can emarash tayd b'shabbos," because it says, "Miritzrich kra." The fact that Torah has to go out of its way to matir brit milah b'shabbos, even though that's effectively something you would assume is being mekalkel, is causing an injury. Nonetheless, the Torah says you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. We need a pasuk to tell us that mikal deshar chovel, and other injuries inflicted would be chayav. Asar, similarly, the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to say sreifat bat kohen b'Shabbos, which is a capital offense that riding a bat kohen or at an affair, that she would have a sreifa. The fact that the Torah says you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, the mekalkel, michlal the mekalkel, the Havara is chayav. Seems to suggest that mekalkel, even with burning, is considered chayav. Kugon asaref kli is mekalkel. However, we'll see in a moment that Rabbi Yochanan is cholek on that. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but ma'avir, back to the Gemara, ma'avir einu chayav ad shiut tzarich la'efer, va'oseh chabura einu chayav ad shiut tzarich la'dam. So he understands is that all kilkol and Shabbos is considered asor, unless it's a kilkol almanat lataken. Unless there's going to be some productive output as a result. For example, you're burning something because I need the ashes. Or there's a chabura, I'm cutting a thing because I need the constructive thing is I need to draw the blood. I need the blood for some reason. Okay? That would be the that that's what he says. The Gemara says, one second, Bahat Tanya no Shoro. And that's Shoro Surtsa. That's really the answer. What's Hat Shoro? So this goes back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says Ashor should lick at Gdish b'Shabbos, you'd be what? Chayev. But we said if a person made likud hadish, you'd be patur. But with the assumption is that the action of a human being and the ashur are parallel. The only difference between the two is that one's an animal and one is a human being. So when are we saying the human being is like chayav on Shabbos, that's why it's patur from the monetary component. That according to you, that's only if that's some sort of constructive output according to Rabbi Yochanan. For example, it needs ashes. Can you, and if you're trying to say the parallel case when the shor is chayav, I mean, it's chayav either way he's going to be doing because there's no capital offense for him. But the parallel case by shor you want to say because we're evening the playing field is when the shor needs efer. How can that be? The Gemara says, yeah, indeed, shor tzarich leefer. It can be that case. We're dealing with it seems to be this intelligent ox. She'im yesh lo ketisha begufo, some sort of wound on his body. V'sorefat agish, the barfolder says, kereg the gandro ba'eferob, because he wants to roll in the ashes. And you can have animals that seem to be all clever and they have creative mechanism things for doing this. V'hachinami, so too, it seems to be that the parallel case could be with a shore that's a bit innovative. Just on these lines, I remember that. Just animals can be quite clever. I'll give you an example with particular esh. I remember when we were in Northern Australia, they have these fire kites. A kite's a type of bird. Well, what they do is they literally pick up coals, they drop them in fields to create a fire to destroy the region in order to eat all the rodents. They're going to get up and have a nice barbecue as a result, right? So you can have these animals that can think logically a number of steps ahead. Right, to get a result. And there are many other examples. That's the one that just came to mind because I thought of esh and birds and things like that. Okay, et cetera. Let's continue. Shor she'ar rodef achar shor acher v'huzak. Let's say one ox was seen chasing after another ox, and that one that was pursued seemed to have been injured. Ze omer shorcha hizik. The owner of the injured shor says, your one caused the damage. V'alamer, no, grant my one was chasing your one, but he didn't touch him. He just happened to, in the pursuit, he simply, your shor just simply tripped on a rock. Once again, there's no witnesses. We see this principle quite a lot. Hamotzi mechavero ala varaya. The burden of proof is on the person who's trying to extract the funds. So the so-called owner of the ox that was injured, well, he'd have to bring proof that it was actually, the injury was inflicted by the owner, the ox belonged to the other person. And that's going to be the pattern for this entire Mishnah. Let's say two different oxen were chasing after another. And the third ox was clearly injured by one of these two oxen, and each say that actually it was yours, it was yours. Once again, unless we have witnesses to identify which ox caused the damage, the part. Similarly, if, however, both these pursuing oxen were owned by one person, well, then mimanafshach, you're the owner of whichever shor did the damage, you're chayev. But it's not going to be that simple, as you'll see in a moment. Because hayachad gadol v'chad katon. Let's say one was big, meaning more valuable, another one was smaller. Hanizak, in a case of, if you remember, in a case of a shor tam, the funds is only extracted from the value of the ox that caused the damage. It can't go above that. Okay? So clearly, the one that caught the owner of the ox that was killed wants would say it was the larger of the two oxen that inflicted the damage. Because if it's a smaller one, might not even get the full compensation or the compensation of Chatzin Ezek. So he says, the owner of the oxen that ran were pursuing says, no, Kila Katan Ezek, it was a younger, the smaller of the two. Okay? Similarly, Chad Tam v'Chad Muad. Let's say the two oxen were chasing in the ones that were in pursuit. One is the tam, one's the muad. The nizak clearly wants to say it was the muad that caused the damage because he wants full compensation. The mazik says no. Olo ki ela tam ezik. It was the tam. You only get half compensation. Once again, in the absence of any witnesses, well, you know, matzim b'chavo. Then nizak has to bring proof. Otherwise, well, we'll see what the otherwise is in a moment. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss. But it seems to be matzim b'chavo. Let's say there were two oxen that were damaged. And it was like a two against two fight. And the ones that caused the damage were also two. One was big, one was small. The Nizak clearly wants to get as much compensation as possible. So he says, the Nizak, the one who's trying to get compensation, will. It says the bigger one damaged my larger ox, and the old smaller one damaged my smaller one, because once again he can only extract the funds up until the value of the ox that really caused the damage. So if
You
he's
think we're assuming dishonesty here?
well, it's absence of witnesses. Well, again,
But he witnessed.
sorry. Well, they can. Okay, whether who someone's clearly not being honest here. or maybe innocently or not innocently, but just to explain, the way I'm portraying it is that they're both lying. Well, clearly they're both not lying because one of these two things actually happened. But I'm just the way I'm describing this way, so you can appreciate the why each position is advantageous to each person. Okay, but it clearly one's telling the truth. Okay, so or maybe neither of them know, right? Neither of them know. So since it could have simply been we don't know, neither of them know actually what happened. But the claim of the Nizak says I want the position that's in my favor, and he says, and Mazik says I want the position in my favor. Okay, it could be like that. Okay. The my smaller one damaged your bigger ox, so I'm sorry, you can only get to the value if you like of my smaller ox, and my and the big one damaged the smaller ox. So yes, you can get compensated for your full half damages. Let's say one was a tam, was a muad. The Nizek says, all the muad your ox that's this repeat offender that I can get full compensation. He's the one that damaged my more expensive ox. The innocent one, if you like, that I can only get half compensation from, that, well, not really innocent, but he's not a repeat offender. The tam, he damaged the katon. And the mazik says, no, it's other way around. Once again, okay. Now we have a fascinating question the Gemara asks. Rav Yudin Baye, Hadin Amadata Din Mahu. Now, what happens if I come to Beit Din? Hadin Amadata Din Mahu. I'll just show you the Mara folder. He says, Hadin kan be matnitin amda. Kulama nifsak al omda. Dutna motzim im lo aiti raya madino. So in other words, you said I'm motzim b'chavaraya. Fine. What happens if he doesn't? Lachachi amar Beit Din mahu. What's the din? What's in Beit Din? Hayach yadun Beit Din. What will Beit Din do in a situation where the person doesn't bring a raya? Im no mar dim lo yavira yitol kumo shamar amazik, o lo yitol klal. The havale kumo toen chitim vadot seorim da patu ap mit dibei seorim. So just to explain this, there's two ways to understand it. Do we say that at least let him take what the mazik said? So in the case where the mazik said it was, let's it's a simple case where it was a case of a muad and a muad and a tam, and damage one of the victim's ox, one of them. He says it's a muad and the nizak, and the mazik says no, it was a tam. Do we say okay, compensate like a tam, get chasi nezek, or do we say that it's like hatoen chitim v'da b'seorim, in a situation where a person says you owe me wheat, he says no, I only owe you barley, that he can't that. That he doesn't get anything in that situation. Like, how do we deal with this case if in absence of bringing a raya? So the Gemara says, Nishmin hada shnayim shezarku shtei tzurot. You got two people threw two stones. Veshavru shtei kadim, broke two kadim. One was full of wine, chad shel yayin, vechad shel shem, one was of oil. The assumption is the oil one was worth more money. Zeh omer shel yayin shavarti, vezeh omer shel yayin shavarti. Each of them say, we broke the one of wine. Shnei Meshalmim Shel Yayin. They both paid the Shel Yayin. Now, what's interesting here is, even though the claim would be maybe the Mazik saying, no, you broke the Shemen, they still pay the Yayin. So we don't say Tonachitim or Hadasorim in this situation. We'll talk with the Ribazim in a minute why that's the case. Achat Rekanim Vachat Melau. Let's say one was full, one was empty. Zeomer Kishavarti, Vizeomer Rekanit Shavarti, Shneim Meshalmitatar Rekanit. Again, that would only, if like, combine together to pay the value of the, oh, well, sorry, the empty one. And I'm not sure about combine them. I actually have to pay the empty one value. Okay. Shavru Chavit Echad Zu. Sorry, Shavru Chavit Echad. Zu Omer Atashavarti, Vizeomer Atashavarti. Each say you broke it or you broke it. Then we say in that situation, we'll shnei p'turim because they can each push to the other person and there's no proof who did it. Fine. Now, I'll just show you here. The Marful says, Afa gav shen nizak to'en mehem shemen velo yayin. Despite the fact that Nizak says, no, you broke my oil one. And nonetheless, they pay the value of the wine. Hachiname afa gav shen nizak to'en gadol hizik velo akatan. Even though the Nizek says it was a big ox that did it, and not the small one, meaning of a bigger or smaller value, that's like the first case. Now let's pay to make katan. Now, what's interesting here is that it seems to be the continuation according to Marfold. It says, it seems to be that even though the Bavli says how to end chitim and asorim do patur, seems to be that Marfold understands inclusion of the Yerusha, the Yerusha is cholek. That to end chitim the hodab sorim, he has to pay the sorim. The claim was chitim, he says, no, I really owe you sorim. So orim bali, then he has to pay. However, the Ribaz doesn't say that. The Ribaz says, I'll just show you the Ribaz. I'm sure you have it on the side. It's the last Ribaz on the daf. He says, oh, yes. He says, no. Why isn't this a situation? Ha nizak to en bari. The nizak says, no, you. It's a clear claim. So it seems to be here, sorry. Just to correct what I was saying before, it seems to be a clear claim that you owe me, not Shema. Like I said, it was clear claim. You owe me, Sorin. It must be a different situation. Tano chitim v'odasa is when we really got no detail about the case, other than the claimant having a clear claim says you owe me chitim, and the guy's saying I don't owe you that. I owe you sorim. He says okay, you're patur. Okay, and that needs a little for why that's the case. However, here it's different. It must be that the witnesses to them throwing it, not that there was no evidence whatsoever. There was witness and throwing stones. And since they caused damage, if you like, this is not a situation of, and also there was damage caused to wine and oil. This is not like Nochitim. This seems, Yerushalmi seems to be a proof to support the position we find in Shulchan Aruch, which is to move over Shulchan Aruch, Siman Taf, de Novea, also to Novea Me'a Magid Mishnah. What's the Lashon? De'im yesh einim shechayev lo, ve'ein yadu im chitin im sorim. That if people, there are einim say, yeah, we know you borrowed some grain, and we saw a sack of grain, but we don't know what it was. Ve'toveya says chitin v'aniva says sorim, then it's chayev to pay sorim. Despite the fact we say Torah chitim v'odah sorim mit patur, if there's, if you like, enough evidence that there was a transaction that occurred, then you'd still be chayv to pay seorim. Where's the proof from that? That's from this Yerushalmi. So according to the Ribaz is not cholik on the Bavli. There is still a situation Torah chitim v'odah that we'd say that that you'd be patur. Why are you chayv in this situation? Because in this situation with Ridbaz, the witnesses to the case where we saw you, we saw you guys throwing stones, we heard smashing. We just don't know which rocks you hit. So therefore, according to that, it must be that it was quite clear. If you fold this back onto the Mishnah, if we're going to do that, which it seems to what the Yerushalmi is doing anyway, that there were witnesses to the fact that these oxen were causing damage, and it's not sure which oxen did the damage. Okay, so must have over. Yeah, you'd have to pay the tam, or you'd have to pay the law of the amounts, or whatever it is. Pay your foot. And that was Andronach Perak Hameniach at the card, Andronach Perak Hameniach at the card, Andronach Perak at the card. Let's continue. Shorshanagach Arba Vachamisha Shorim Ze Acharze. If you've got ox that gores four oxen, one after the other, yeah, fit. Well, four or five. Yeshalem Laacharam Shabahem. Who gets paid first? The last ox. Im yesh bo motar, if there's anything left, then yachzel lefanav. Yesh bo fanav, if left, yachzel lishalei fanav. Harachan or niskar meir. So I can see we're moving on in time. So I'll explain this a bit outside. According to the way Penimosh explains this, according to like the Bavli explains it, this is relating to the debate between Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Kim, Rabbi Shmuel. Because when a tam does damage, how do we, when is mishlem gufo? Do we say that the victim is now a partner, 50% partner or share partner in this ox that caused the damage? Or do we say you can just claim the money from it? Okay, so if you can claim the money from it, that's the position, if you like, of Rebbe Meir now. All he has is a right of claim. But what did he do, according to his understanding of the Mishnah? He went and seized this ox. Okay, let's say it's a typical case of an ox of 200 and caused damage and kills ox each worth 200, 200, 100, 100. Okay, so what would happen now is that once he seizes it, he's not a shareholder in it, but he's shomer. He's basically responsible for it. But he only has a 50% share in this ox that caused the damage. Okay? The owner, any subsequent damage this caused, the original owner is not chayav for because you seized it from me. I'm not responsible. Some understanding exists, mamash honest, if you like. So therefore, all that's so you the money that's claimed for further damage caused by this ox can't be come that can't come from that 50% share that the, if you like, the original owner has in this ox. It can only come from the 50% remaining. And who's responsible from that? This victim number one who seized this ox. So if this ox now commits a crime to victim number two, victim number one says, well, you're responsible. And then what he does, he seizes it. And he wants to claim full damages from it so he can claim the full from the 50% and that victim number one doesn't get anything. And so it would continue. The only, in other words, from the 50%, if you like, of the damage that was of the claimable damage, okay, we'll always be able to draw down on that until that's exhausted. So, for example, if the it was next was 50, one's 30, one's 20, that would also, if you like, draw down on that 50% remaining. That's the way Rebbe Meir understands it. The important behind that opinion is he doesn't have a share in this ox. All he has is ability to claim money from it. But what complicated matters, he sees it, so now he's fully responsible for the damage caused within his share, where the original owner is, well, you're responsible. You can't claim from my share in the ox. Okay? Now, it's not really a share, but from the money that I could have claimed from it. Okay, let's refer to it that way. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, no, shosha v'matayim shenagach. So Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He's of the opinion that as soon as the ox causes damage, the victim is now a shareholder, if you like, in the ox that caused the damage. And therefore, any subsequent damage, they both bear responsibility. So as it says, an ox worth of 200 ox calls an ox worth of 200, vein of the klum, and it killed it completely. Victim number one can claim 50% damages, which is 100. So now he has a 50% holding in this ox that caused the damage. However, now that they're both shareholders in this ox, they're both, if you like, bear responsibility. So chazar, if this ox goes then and causes damage, and it kills it. The next victim can take 50% share, and then the remaining 50% is shared 25-25 between the original owner and the first victim. That's how it would play out. Okay? And similarly, if it then goes and causes damage once again, the last person gets 50% share. The second victim gets really, well, the 50% is 100. The next victim going backwards, which is the second victim, would get 50, which is a 50% of that 50%. And the original owner, the first victim gets, if you like, 25 each. Dinar Zahav. Mishnah Rishim, Dinar Zahav. Yafeh. So, in other words, again, what's behind this debate, very importantly, is the way, again, the Bavli explained it. We'll see exactly how the Yerushalmi works in a moment. Is how we understand what it means, Mishpilim Megufo. When you're trying to claim money back from a town that caused damage, are you immediately a shareholder, like effectively a shareholder, which is like Rabbi Huda, understanding, which is like Rabbi Akiva? Or Rabbi Meir says, no, you actually, all you can do is just collect money from it. But what complicated the matter in this story is the victim seized the animal in order to claim the money. That's what sort of twisted things a bit. Now, Shonagach Arba Vachamishashroim, Amr Vianai, Baalav, meaning the last person, last victim in the chain. This is the way Rabbi Yana understands Rabbi Meir. Baalav Rabbi Meir Mishnei Tzadim. In other words, the last victim can say to the one before it, Mimanafshach, I should be able to get my money back. What Mimanafshach? So Manafshach, do you want to say it's Shelchahu, that you're a shareholder? Well, if you're a shareholder, then by virtue of, because of the damage done to your ox, well, damage is done to my ox, so now I'm a shareholder, so hand it over. Okay? Do you know Lee? Okay, the way I'm explaining this, like Marfulda, again, there's lots of different parashim here. I'm mixing a bit of Ridbaz as well, but that's the way I explain it, like really, like Marfulda here. But Moshe explained it different. The article has a completely different derech, according to different parash. I can't remember which one they used. Okay, so it says, Manav shecha, shechahi, sotoli, enu. If you want to say that it's not yours, but you seized it nonetheless in order to claim the money, then to Elisha, Gemara, they give it to me in order that I can claim the money back. So it says, Mimanafshach, I've got the stronger claim than any of you, but prior to me. Now, the way Ribbaz explains it is because when it comes to a tam that caused damage, if you want to say you can collect money from it, The owner has the ability, if you like, to say, okay, I don't take the ox, I'll pay you off instead. But if he doesn't do that, then really the ox becomes the property of the victim. That's effectively how it works. Now, even if he doesn't, it says, "V'lo ken amar Reb Eliezer shmirat nezakav k'shmirat kinyan." Now, even other people say this is Akasha, but he's saying the shmirat nezakav k'shmirat kinyan is that the way the Maharal Fulda explains it. He says that as soon as, oh, no, sorry, the Ribaz. He says, I'll just read you in size. Botom meisen nitkav shmirah afagav nun ikem liknot botom meisen. I mean, even if you don't want to acquire it, by taking order to, if you like, claim your money back, ach keman dorse meisen sheachol liknot nitkai b'shmirah. Since you took it legabot mimena, even though you didn't want to necessarily do a meisen kinyan on it, it's already considered like a kinyan and it's already considered like it's yours. That's, in other words, that's why the Ribaz explains it here to say that really, mima nafshach, if it was yours, well, now it should be mine. Hachanami, afagav shuvenet shalom nikaven legviya, even though you do want to collect, all you want to do is collect money, aval kevin al yidei maisa tfisa, by taking koneh ba'alma legviya, therefore nimtza mitchayev, you're obligated completely, if you like, with the shmirah. Okay? Fine. However, that is, if you like, the mima nafshach. So amale Rav Yehudan, umasrol nizakav, einu ela kemashkon be'ador. Now, Rav Yudan here, according to both Maharal Fulda and Ribaz, it's actually Rabbi Yehuda on our Mishnah. That's cholek on Rabbi Meir. So, what is it saying? Again, the simple reading of Maharal Fulda is saying is that your mima nafshach is as follows. The last person in the chain says the one before it, at this point, it's yours in either case. Either because you have a shareholder or because you were tofeset. Okay? That's why it's effectively yours. However, the counter argument of Yehuda is that no, all it doesn't become his. It's just him's. It's like a mashkon to collect damages from. And since that's the case, your mima nafshach doesn't come through because it's not really his and others entirely his. Therefore, now it's mine entirely mine. It's just like a mashkon from which I can collect the money from. So I'll just read the Maharal Fulda inside. He says, Hare ain't all the kamash meodo al nezaka, the ain't kami manafshach, the no manafshach anymore, she ain't lacharon's chut your term or tolishanav. In other words, it doesn't come like completely yours. It's just from which you can claim your money, so therefore it should be your. Person number three can say, person number four, then it's also all you have is a chut to claim your money. It's not that now you become a full owner of it, like if you like, you have a greater right shifting up the chain anymore. Which is interesting because. That's again, that's I think the way the Maharal Fulda explains sugya. It's a little tricky, I believe. I found it to piece it together. But the Gemara then continues, okay, or main afgabenu in terms of trying to understand the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. I'll just show you one other piece I want to show you. It's interesting because the other ones it says if it's a shomer sachar, then you should, in other words, if it's like a mashkon, then you own like a shomer sachar. Which is interesting because other proportion you actually say that that comes to answer the question, but whatever. I'm not confused with that. I'll just leave it at that. We'll try and be satisfied if you like with that reading of the sugya, and we'll take it from my b'nai next year. Okay, b'sefer. Whatever. Kol tov. Have a good day.